Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
Welcome to Medically Speaking Radio. This is Dr. Mark Vaughn and
his faithful sidekick, Larry Finney.
And we are here, pre-recorded.
So don't try to call in. Well, you can try, it just won't do you any good.
But yeah, maybe Mike's at the station answering the phone. He'll talk to you.
Yeah. Well, no, if I were Mike at the station right now, and I know that we're in plug-and-play mode, it's time to go get a little breakfast.
Yeah, and be over at Paula's.
Or trot on down to A-Town Deli or someplace.
Or Everything's Chocolate.
Oh, yeah, Aunt Flo's.
Aunt Flo's, that's yeah, yeah. There's just something about that name.
Chocolate, Breakfast of Champions.
Anyway, we have a show. Now, what's unique about this show is you don't want your children hearing it if they're too young.
As if children listen to us.
Because it's about STDs.
That would be, that's not a gasoline additive. This would be
known as VD when I was going through school.
Sexually transmitted diseases.
That's right. That's what
now,
we're talking about.
Maybe your adolescent and older children ought to be listening.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Younger children probably don't want them to because they'll ask questions about what words mean.
And if you're prepared to deal with that, go ahead and let them listen.
Yeah, if maybe they've reached that age, it's time to have the talk anyway. Why not combine it with the talk on the diseases that, right. Yeah, okay. I never thought of it that way, but it makes sense.
Yes.
So, news-wise, there's a new drug getting approval through the FDA out of Japan.
Orexigen. It's a diet pill. It's the first obesity drug in a decade approved by the FDA.
Yay.
Actually, it's called Contrave.
Yeah. Any claims about all the massive amount of pounds it takes off and how many subjects actually benefit from it?
No, but there's indisputably a need for diet pills, or at least a demand for diet pills. I'm looking, the thing that caught my eye about a third of the way into the article, it says that the Orexigen shares rose $7.60 to $12.36. We should probably have Howard Fleming read that part. In New York.
Howard sure does read the numbers, doesn't he?
$7.60 per share.
Yeah, but what I notice here in the article on it, Melanie Coffin, who was on the panel that did the approval there. The quote from her is, "I'm disappointed with the efficacy. It's very small.
It's not going to be a perfect drug for everyone."
Yeah.
That's what it says. Yeah. Well, I'll read part of the copy here. Contrave's benefits in helping obese people lose weight are greater than the drug's potential long-term risks, outside advisors to the FDA said today in a 13-7 vote, not exactly a ringing endorsement, at the agency's headquarters in Maryland. The panel earlier said a study of Contrave's heart risks should be done after approval. Now, that's a little ominous to me.
Yeah. Doesn't that set you a little uncomfortable there?
Yeah. Let's just get it out there, and then we'll check out the risks later. Do we remember Fen-Phen?
Oh, man.
Remember that drug? Yeah. Wasn't that a diet, a weight loss drug?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What was the issue with it?
Damage to heart valve.
Yeah. So, you know, here we are. And we're not suggesting in any way that this will do that, but
we don't know.
But yeah, never buy version one. Okay, when the first VCRs come out, did you run out and buy one? You probably did. You paid $1,000 for the stupid thing. Now they give them away. You know, never buy the first iPhone off the line. All right, wait a couple years, and then when they're $29.95, then you can dial in.
Okay, so to summarize, young children know. Medically Speaking Radio, yes.
Okay, there got it.
Okay, so we'll back be
with
back
Dr.
after the...
Oh, I'm sorry, I talked right over. Dr. Philip Kintner, the famous, they came out of the room and they were naked.
Yes, that's right. Okay, people are always asking about the quote on our program, or on our promotion.
Stay tuned, he's here.
Okay.
The content of this website and the Medically Speaking Radio Show are meant for entertainment and for general information purposes.
No doctor-patient relationship is attempted or implied through the show or the website.
Any medical advice,
home remedies, and all other medical information on this website or radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor.
Do not attempt any treatment mentioned on the website or the show without consulting your doctor.
Always consult your own doctor if you are in any way concerned about your health.
If you need a doctor and live near Placer County, call Jen at 530-886-8630.
If you have a medical emergency, call 911.
Medically Speaking Radio, Dr. Mark Vaughn, Auburn Medical Group, K-High Radio, and or our sponsors are not responsible for any diagnosis or treatment made by anyone based on any of the content of this website or the Medically Speaking Radio show.
In addition, the views and opinions expressed on the show or on linked websites are not necessarily those of Dr. Mark Vaughn,
K-High Radio, the Auburn Medical Group Incorporated, or any of the show sponsors.
Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I want to tell you about my dentist, Rodney Kihara. His office is located right in town at High Street and Auburn Folsom Road. His staff is pleasant. They smile when you walk in, and you know who they are because they're there every time. We're talking about Flo, Cheryl, and Judy. Their pleasant faces welcome you into the office and let you know that you're in the right spot, a comfortable place to go to the dentist. Call Dr. Kihara's office at 888-1966. That's 888-1966.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's Medically Speaking. On K-High, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Welcome back from the break. This is Medically Speaking Radio with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney. And we have as a guest, Dr. Philip Kintner, right here in town. We have him as obstetrician gynecologist. And this is going to be a good show because he's been laughing so much that we can't even start recording.
Got him warmed up here in the green room. But you, when you hear his voice, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, you will recognize him as the man behind probably our greatest single soundbite, the one that's used as our promo about the
one that people actually call into the show and ask, what, how does it go? How does it continue? What happens?
They're naked, and then, yeah, that one. People are all excited about this. So he's back, ladies and gentlemen. He's back.
Well, actually, it's great to be back. Use my Barry White voice. I actually had a patient come in and who heard the soundbite, and she told me, she goes, you don't sound like that in person. But so I had to come up with my Southern Illinois drawl. And then she goes, well, now you do sound like the sound bite.
Yeah, you've been in California too long.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I was moving out to the bastion of liberal, well, I guess there are pot smoking, but liberal area. And come to find out, I moved to the most conservative county in California.
Yeah, I'm sorry if Larry and I make you feel uncomfortable.
That's right. I'll put this reefer out now if it's bothering you.
Oh, I have some stories about that.
I'm sure you do.
From my youth, but
well, and just before we're here in the green room talking about chance meetings with the likes of Timothy Leary and Dr. Ruth Westheimer. I mean, he's met all kinds of doctors, famous doctors, and now he's met Dr. Vaughn. So, you know, the trifecta is complete.
And I must add, Dr. Vaughn is much more charming than either of those. So,
ooh, thank you.
Well, on that note, what is our subject today? We're moving right on into sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes. Excluding pregnancy.
Yeah. My pause there was, you can't see this on the radio, but there was a sign language that Dr. Vaughn had for that, but I understood exactly what he meant.
There was a gesture.
A gesture, as it were.
Guys, my parents listen to this show.
No, they don't.
Now I'm going
to
cry.
No. Okay, so sexually transmitted diseases. I guess the obvious question to ask is, how do you get it? No. Well, I guess that's why they call them sexually transmitted diseases. Where was I going with that? It was the obvious question to ask is the prevalence here in the Foothills area, doctor. I mean, if in your practice, here we are in the most conservative county in California, as you've rightfully noted, and far away from any known sin or vice, but no, not so much.
Well, it gets back to, as we change definitions over time, I heard one professor say, if something happens more than 50% of the time, is that considered abnormal or is that a normal finding? And what we're approaching is with one of our lovely little critters that we test for, human papillomavirus. If we did tissue cultures on everyone, probably over 50% would test positive at some type of exposure during their lifetime. Is that really an abnormality, or is that just a consequence of life? That's pretty much standard across the United States, the country. It doesn't pick its favorite spots to show up.
Now, I don't know where that stat's coming from, because that may be in your office, or is that through the county, or is that through the labs? And the reason I ask is because percentage in my testing, I would say, is under 5%.
Well, your clientele may be unusual.
Well, or in terms of statistics, we have stratified the population. Folks are coming to you, Dr.
Right.
Kintner, for a different reason
right.
than they might be coming to Dr. Vaughn.
Well, so. And we test, and now with the way that we do our pap smears, and technically we don't do pap smears anymore. We do cervical cytology, which is placed in a liquid medium. And we have the capability now to actually genotype HPV types. And the last I knew, there was close to 70 different types of HPV. And we forget that a wart on your finger is human papillomavirus.
Okay, so what I'm probably referring to is just those, is it seven?
Right.
The seven ones that 11. Are tested for on the liquid-based test. Whereas, are you talking about any HPV?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I can't say about that because mine doesn't test for the
I need to back up here just a moment. The common wart that we all get from playing with frogs and so forth, the common wart that
is papillomavirus.
Is a papillomavirus. Right. All right. So the human papillomavirus that you're talking about, that we refer to as a sexually transmitted disease, is but one of, or is it seven of them, are of the, how many types of HPV are there? Just
well, when we do a pap smear, if the pap smear comes back normal, the lab will not automatically test for papillomavirus. However, if it comes back minimally abnormal, what we call ascus now, atypical squamous cells of uncertain significance, it's a mouthful, then they will do what they call reflex testing, and they will test for what's called high-risk types and low-risk types of HPV. Women, since I'm a gynecologist, that's the tests I do, who test positive for one of the high-risk types, then we do what's called colposcopy. Look at the cervix with a microscope, look for obvious abnormalities. If we see something that looks atypical, then we take a biopsy. If they test positive for HPV, but they're not what's called the high-risk types, 16, 18, 31, 33, 35. There's a laundry list. Then we just follow them routinely on an annual basis. Or in fact, if their pap smear is normal, now they've changed the guidelines again. They're becoming much more conservative, in some cases every 3 years.
So HPV, the human papillomavirus, what you're communicating to us is it's very common. How does one treat it? Is it treatable? Is it curable? And what are the downside symptoms of having it?
The virus itself really is not treatable because it's like exposure to the common cold. We know that the virus can remain dormant, similar to herpes, and then when there's an alteration of the immune system, then it can show up. What's interesting is one of those alterations of the immune system is pregnancy. And so sometimes women who, were exposed many, many years ago and who choose to delay childbearing, all of a sudden, boom, an abnormal pap shows up or a genital wart shows up. And of course, then the finger pointing starts and it's like, but this is something that occurred many, can be many years before.
So women don't necessarily know they have it when they have it.
Right. Exactly. It's not like herpes, whereas herpes would, when you get your primary outbreak of herpes, I mean, it feels like you've been, burnt, I mean, it's painful blisters, and it's obvious. And you even feel ill, sometimes fevers, chills, body aches. And then secondary outbreaks usually are much, much more mild.
Is there any way to prevent HPV?
Live in a trash bag.
Yeah.
No intercourse. And even condoms, although condoms definitely decrease the incidence, it's not foolproof. Because if the partner has a condyloma on their scrotum or up near the base of the penis, I mean, obviously that's not covered. So unless you're completely covered in liquid latex, there's the possibility.
And that's a whole different population. We don't get into. Yeah. Wow. It's kind of a bleak world out there. So unless you are lucky enough or whatever, however you want to term that, to be with in a monogamous relationship with a partner who's never been exposed, then you're...
There's a name for that. It's called marriage.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a dangerous world.
There is, when you talked about prevention, there is a vaccine called Gardasil, and there's actually another one coming out. Gardasil is what's called a quadrivalent vaccine, so it's activity was FDA approved for four types. Two of the low-risk types that cause genital warts and two that can cause cervical abnormalities. And there's a new one coming out, and I forget who makes, Merck makes Gardasil. I can't remember because I just plugged Merck on the radio. The other is a bivalent, just the two high-risk types. Although the vaccine, even though it's designed for those four, there are some anecdotal evidence that it also helps with all the rest.
And that's available at both. I would believe you guys have it in your office, and we have it in our office available. It's recommended for women specifically, ages, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say 12 to 26.
12 to 20, yeah, 12 to 27. I think the 12.
And the point would be prior to becoming sexually active.
That's why we started at age 12, and it's three injections spaced out a few months apart.
Although when I was working back in the great state of Illinois, I had the good fortune of working with a gentleman named Stuart Massett, who's a GYN oncologist at Washington University. And he worked with me at SIU, at the med school. And he's one of the authors on all the new screening criteria for pap smears. And what's interesting, he has strong beliefs that actually... that you don't have to be, what's the right word? No prior exposure, that the vaccine, even in women, and also too, the indication for men is coming out. They're gonna release it, that it's actually helpful even though there has been prior exposure.
Okay, so that takes care of HPV. What other kind of things are you seeing here?
Chlamydia would probably be, you know, one of the most common. Herpes. It seems like herpes comes in clusters. You won't see patients with herpes for months, and then all of a sudden it's like everybody went to the same party. In the old days, in other words, when I was going through school, you know, type 1 was above the belt and type 2 was below. Now, a lot of times we don't even type it because it goes everywhere.
Mm. You know, you talk about the old days. I go back to when, as layperson knowledge, there were basically two sexually transmitted diseases. There was gonorrhea and there was syphilis. And now there's just this litany of things. I mean, you're rattling off things I've never heard of.
And chlamydia used to be called NGU, non-gonococcal urethritis. And
chlamydia is so much easier to say. And you know, if it wasn't what it was, it would be a good woman's name, I think. But not now. Chlamydia, you get in here right now.
And the problem with chlamydia is that it really doesn't cause symptoms until it's advanced. I mean, a lot of times it can be, you know, for men, some burning, a little bit of burning with urination, women, a little bit of discharge, and then it's kind of the silent, it's not a killer, but the...
But it can lead to infertility.
Infertility, scarring of the tubes, adhesions. Yeah.
In fact, so asymptomatic that in the state of California, it's recommended that we just across the board screen all women within a certain age group for it.
And we screen all pregnant women at their first visit for...
Yeah, I didn't want to leave folks with the impression that these particular diseases were just merely inconvenient or uncomfortable. Left untreated, what do they lead to? You talk about infertility. You know, what else have we got? Are any of these sicknesses unto death?
Right. It can. Well, and I mean, it's possible. Chlamydia, like I say, usually once you start to have symptoms, you know, such as fever, pelvic pain, or a mass on exam, I mean, you can have, you know, pelvic abscesses. It can ruin the fallopian tubes to where they're basically useless. And then to get pregnant, you have to use what's called assisted reproductive technology, in vitro, things like that.
And on that lovely thought, we will go to a break. This is Medically Speaking Radio on KHI AM 950, and we'll be back after the break. Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I want to tell you about my dentist, Rodney Kihara. His office is located right in town at High Street and Auburn Folsom Road. His staff is pleasant. They smile when you walk in, and you know who they are because they're there every time. We're talking about Flo, Cheryl, and Judy. Their pleasant faces welcome you into the office and let you know that you're in the right spot, a comfortable place to go to the dentist. Call Dr. Kihara's office at 888-1966. That's 888-1966.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's medically speaking. On KHI, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Welcome back from the break. This is Medically Speaking Radio, right here on KHI, AM 950, the voice of the foothills. And I am one of your hosts, Dr. Mark Vaughn, and our other host, Larry Finney of Medically Speaking Radio, are here with our guest, Dr. Philip Kintner. And again, we do want to put out this little bit of information that this show is not a call-in show, and this show is on a topic that is of a mature content. So
now we'll get listeners.
Yeah, now we'll get listeners. So if there's little ears in the room, you may want to listen to this show on the podcast rather than on the radio right now. So we had covered HPV and chlamydia, talked a little bit about herpes, and what would be next on the hit parade?
Gonorrhea and syphilis, of course, are
known as
the clap. Although chlamydia has been referred to as yuppie clap. So I don't know who coined that phrase.
Strangely, I get it. I'm not quite sure why.
And, of course, hepatitis is becoming more prevalent, especially hepatitis C, it seems. And, of course, you know, the HIV.
I need to let our listeners know, Larry's writing this whole list down because it's getting longer and longer. And you've not thought of these things as diseases that are out there that people are catching.
Well, I've thought of them, but I, you know, since they're not particularly in my life, I don't follow them closely.
But you're right in that it's a long list.
The difference between some of them, for example, HPV, herpes, of course, HIV, of course, and hepatitis. I mean, those are things that diseases that stick with you. They may be dormant, they may be inactive, but they're always lurking in the sidelines.
With you for life.
Right, right. My chairman, when I was a resident, used to use the line, love is fleeting, but herpes is forever. The ironic part about it, gonorrhea and syphilis, which used to be, you know, the bane of society, at least those are treatable and they go away.
But left untreated, I believe those will lead to death, right? Who was it? Who was
Al Capone.
Al Capone. And the other, what's the other famous, the Ugandan dictator?
Idi Amin.
Idi Amin. Did he not die of tertiary stage syphilis?
And
Amadeus.
Mozart? Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
I thought so, wasn't it? Wasn't it Mozart?
You know, if this were a call-in show, Johnny Google would be on this right now telling us who it was.
What's the game show where you make a call out? What is it? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
You can call a friend. Phone a friend.
Call a phone a friend.
Okay. Which of these famous celebrities?
Did Oscar Wilde have syphilis too?
Probably. I don't know.
I'm thinking. I don't know.
We'll have to look that up later.
Do you have Johnny Google's phone number so I can call him?
I don't know.
The nice part about syphilis is it's still easily treatable, whereas gonorrhea, thanks to the Vietnam War, they became very resistant, and some of the strains are very difficult.
Yeah, isn't it Hawaii and California where you have to use alternate therapy?
Right, and used to, and I may be wrong, but used to, there was one of the medications was spectinomycin, I think, that you had to get from the CDC for certain types of resistant gonorrhea.
Okay, somebody just used a term that just blew right by me. Ultimate therapy? That sounds like the final solution. What? What?
Alternate.
Oh, alternate. I thought you said ultimate. You need to enunciate. We're on the radio.
When we get together, he reverts to Southern Illinois.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now you bring something up there. When we were in St. Louis, we weren't in Illinois, we were in St. Louis.
Close.
What?
You were close.
There were these people that grew up in the southern part of St. Louis, and they would pronounce the name of the highway that went through Highway 40.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess it's actually Interstate 64 right there where it goes through St. Louis. But they would pronounce it Farty.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the hardest time understand what these people were saying. They were talking about driving on the highway, and they'd keep saying Farty.
Right.
And we thought it had something to do with where they ate lunch. But that's how all the people in southern St. Yeah. Louis, the people who grew up there, back, you know, in the 50s and 60s, that's how they would pronounce it.
Well, and when you go to clean your car. You have it, you know, you wash.
You have an R in it. You wash it.
You wash your car.
Wow. Regional accents. We've gone into from syphilis to regional accents. You said something a moment ago about the having the Vietnam War to thank for strains of gonorrhea. Is right. This what happened with the Vietnam War? Were we talking about veterans coming back with new and unforeseen strains of this thing?
Why, Larry, use your imagination.
Haven't you seen Full Metal Jacket?
They were close to Bangkok, Thailand, and when they were on R&R, of course, after years of exposure, the little bug would mutate, and inadequate treatment, which Dr. Vaughn knows.
Okay, so it's the superbug concept.
Right, exactly.
And
we've created our own monsters with our superbugs. You know, people call in with the sniffles, and we give them, you know, we give them antibiotics, and they take them for a couple of days, and they feel better.
Until they feel better, they don't take the full dose, right, stop, exactly. And let the superbugs pump up again.
Like our resistant E. coli that kills people and gets in our hamburger and our lettuce. And
you know, this show is turning really bleak. I'm afraid of everything.
Maybe it's time for Timothy Leary.
It is. Have we run out of horrible sexually transmitted diseases?
Oh, no. Just wait. There's more. You also get, let's see, we've got lymphoma inguinalare. No, not lymphoma. What's the name of that one?
Oh, lymphomanarium. yeah. They have the big nodules.
Yeah, and the,
LGV. Lymphogranulomavenarium.
There you go. But that's not all. There's also another one along those lines. The you've got the chancre, you've got the condyloma lata, condyloma acuminata.
Right.
Condyloma agatolata.
Right.
What are these?
Sounds like the backup singers to Tony Orlando or something. Yeah.
Well, Condyloma Acuminata
or a Police album. Zenyatta Mandata
is from HPV, and then Condyloma Lata is from syphilis.
Syphilis having a primary, a secondary, and a tertiary stage. I remember seeing tertiary syphilis in John Cochran, VA. In St. Louis, mm-hmm. And being told by the attending, this is the only time you're going to see this.
Yeah, it's rare now.
That it would get out.
Although syphilis actually is making a big rebound in the cities. Chicago had a big outbreak.
Wow.
And because everybody, you know, was so focused on HIV and hepatitis and everything else. And so they, you know, they forgot about the little spirochete.
Yeah.
And so...
An interesting thing along those lines, you're talking about the different cities, and I mentioned St. Louis again because that's where I went to medical school. The apparently, the old St. Louis City Hospital had some serum samples from the 60s that they tested after they had testing available for HIV, and it was found there. Now, this is one of those urban legends. I've not verified it at all, but have you heard stories like that yourself?
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. And apparently, there were a lot of the older inner city hospitals whose blood, or not blood bank, but the laboratory had saved all these tissue and blood samples. And when they went back and, you know, did some research on that. And I think, wasn't the transmission time period for HIV in Russia was found in a nursery where they reused a syringe to draw blood from babies. And I think that's how they found the incubation period.
That's awful.
That may be, you know, urban legend too, but I think that is accurate.
Somebody can run that through Snopes.
Yeah.
So Google.
That's right. We'll have it for the next show. Tell us next week. Bring that information to us. So the stages of syphilis, what are they? Primary is the initial painless ulcer.
Right.
Usually located on the genitals.
Right.
Secondary is the...
Where you can get the granulomatous disease. And
the rash on the...
Right.
On the palms and the soles, which is kind of unique from most rashes that we see.
Right.
And then tertiary can include the heart and the neurosyphilis.
Neurological, what are they, the talipes or whatever. They also, can't they get the abnormal gait?
Are you saying tapes dorsalis?
That's it. Not talip. What's talip? What's talipes?
Oh, that's another
Greek god or something.
No, that's
it's a fish. It's a type of fish, isn't it? You can get in a Mexican
restaurant. Tilapia.
No, that's it.
No, I know what you're thinking of. I'm thinking it's some kind of a disease that you get from the tropics, but I don't know for sure. No, tapes dorsalis has to do with attacking the dorsal column and the spinal cord, and so you would get the floppy feet when you walk.
I'm a gynecologist, not a neurologist, Dr. Vaughn.
We'll have to ask Dr. Baumbach next time we get him on.
Or we're linguists. We've gone into too much Latin here. Let's go back to Southern Illinois where we know how to talk.
So the hepatitis and the HIV being the diseases that we consider to be deadly and that we have testing for, what are some of the screening guidelines for those?
The recommended screening guidelines for what's interesting is women who are pregnant, get screened for all kinds of things. And it is HIV, hepatitis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis. Now we're even doing, which has nothing to do with STDs, but cystic fibrosis testing to see if they're a carrier. And now they're wanting us to do hemoglobin A1Cs at the first prenatal visit. Yeah. They get thoroughly tested, early.
Let me go ahead and take a break here. And when we get back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Philip Kintner, obstetrician and gynecologist right here in Auburn.
Hello, this is attorney Max Beeman. I specialize in frivolous lawsuits, and I've never lost a case. You heard me right. I've never lost a case, and I've done hundreds. No case too frivolous. Was your coffee too hot? Was your soup too cold? Did the traffic signals make you miss an important appointment? I get big awards for my clients in cases just like these. In these tough economic times, you can't afford not to sue. Winning a lawsuit can change your life, and I can make that happen. Call me, Max Beeman, 916-384-0237. 916-384-0237.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our practice at the Auburn Medical Group. The physician, nurses, and front desk personnel all approach the patient, asking themselves the question, how would I want to be treated if I was in the patient's shoes? Listen to what one of our patients has to say about her experience at the Auburn Medical Group.
My name is Susie Brown. I just want to sincerely thank that group of people for being there for me in some emergency situations. They are very efficient. Their staff, including their receptionist, even when you call her, she's got sympathy and compassion for you. And when you're ill, that's what you need. The nurse staff is wonderful, and Dr. Vaughn listens to everything you say, and they just get on things. They do not let anything lag.
If you need a doctor, call us at 886-8630 or look at our website at auburnmedicalgroup.com.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
And we're back. This is Larry Finney with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Dr. Philip Kintner. And Dr. Vaughn's covering his ears. During the breaks, maybe that's the stuff that should go out over the air, But in this case, no.
You have your FCC license revoked.
There you go. Well, we had just gotten done in our prior discussion running down the litany of scary diseases, and see if I can. I'm not doing this from memory. We have your chlamydia, your HPV, your herpes, your gonorrhea, your syphilis, your hepatitis C, your HIV, your the LGV thing, and other horrible. There's lots of critters out there in the woods, Doc. So, in your practice, if you saw four cases in a day, does that cause you to raise your eyebrows, or you just say, well, it's just another typical day because that's what the world is like nowadays?
I think four cases in a day would probably be atypical.
Atypical?
Four cases in a week might be,
Okay, so it happens here in the...
Sure.
Now, folks are probably saying to themselves, well, this is an interesting subject, but it doesn't affect me. I don't sleep around it. We were chatting about the age group. You think of this as a young person's disease. This is something that the young folks are going to get into and regret it for life. But there are people who may have been monogamous all their lives, and then lose a spouse through divorce or death, and they are, shall we say, back on the block. Are there risks now?
Well, exactly. And when I, you know, sometimes mothers bring their daughters in and they, you know, want me to, you know, give them the fatherly, put the fear of God in them, talk about, you know, STDs and things. And the problem, and as a parent myself of a daughter and a son, you know, you think you can control your child. However, you can't control their partner. And that's the problem. And I think, you know, we think we can spot them. You know, well, this person looks good, looks okay, and this one. And unfortunately, you know, that doesn't hold true. So, you know, you have to use precautions. It's just like when I go into surgery. I mean, you know, technically, I probably wouldn't have to, you know, gown and glove, and, you know, to avoid infection or catching something from someone, but yet you can't predict who, you know, it may be the person that you least suspect that's been exposed at some point.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the 40, 50, 60 year old person or older who is now single again or whatever, and, you know, they're looking for another partner, life partner, and it, like you say, they look at somebody and say, well, that looks like a nice person.
Well, one of the problems too is as we age, you know, we develop sometimes chronic debilitating disease, which alters our immune systems. And it's just like, you know, when you go down to Costco or you go to the grocery store and every little kid sneezes and wipes their snot on your arm, and somebody's hacking and coughing in line, and you don't automatically get a cold. But if you've just had chemo for whatever, and your immune system's suppressed, you're much more likely. And I think that's why we're starting to see too, you know, sometimes at a later age, things pop up and it's like, you know, well, where did that come from?
Well, the stuff that's been lying dormant in us all this time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of which, why are you laughing? You guys laugh whenever I approach the microphone. Do you have an idea of how long the incubation can be for sexually transmitted herpes?
Well, the problem with herpes is the classic presentation, what we think of is like chickenpox with a vesicle that's painful, it's red, is not necessarily true. What we know now is that even small, what's called fissures, may represent a herpetic lesion, to where the symptoms are really minimal. There may be some burning with urination because the urine hits the raw skin, etc. And people don't consider that an outbreak. And so that's why, you know, sometimes you can't tell if you have an active lesion or not. So it's not as clear cut.
Okay, so you're saying many, many years. I'm saying many, many years.
Oh, you mean from the time of exposure to when they have symptoms? Well, usually with primary, I mean, it's a matter of a few days.
Usually it
is. Right, right.
But we have some extraordinary cases.
Oh, exactly.
Well, so the common element of this, I'm thinking like a consumer, as it were, how do I keep from getting this stuff? Other than being chaste all one's life, never having sex, ever, what does one do to avoid or prevent?
If you hear the infectious disease specialist talk, especially those that deal with HIV and those type of patients, they will tell you that there's no such thing as safe sex. There's safer sex.
Yeah, I'm glad that information is getting out, that term is being put away, that, you know, if you just use a prophylactic that you're safe. No.
Right.
You know, that protects against some things, but no, not everything.
Well, it's probably a good time to have Dr. Kintner tell us one of his famous anecdotes. He was telling us about Dr. Ruth a while ago. You actually ran into her somewhere?
when I was going through midlife crisis, and I decided
the first time.
First time. I've had half a dozen of those. Yeah. I decided I wanted to be an IndyCar, you know, racer. So I signed up for a 3-day course with Russell Racing at, they used to call it Sears Point, I think, over by Sonoma.
Yeah, Infineon Raceway now.
Yeah, and so I signed up for that, and I was staying at the Sonoma Mission Inn, and I was drinking coffee one morning, and I heard this kind of squeaky voice off in the side, and I looked over, and here was this little lady sitting there, and her feet were like a foot off the floor in the booth. And I'm thinking, gosh, I've heard that voice before. And it was Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Ruth Westheimer, famous. What was she famous for? She was a sex therapist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was actually very, very cordial. And I ended up, of course, my bashful self went over and introduced myself and shook her hand. And she was very pleasant. And she was there giving a talk somewhere in the area. So,
and the other cultural icon you ran across, you mentioned, was Dr. Timothy Leary.
Oh,
he,
yes.
He of LSD fame.
Yes. I was, my aunt and uncle lived in Harrisonburg, Virginia, which is probably 30 minutes from Charlottesville, where University of Virginia is. And I was still in medical school, and I did a perinatal elective at University of Virginia. And during Monday through Friday, I stayed at the Quality Inn, which was right next to campus. And what was unique to UVA was the hospital was actually on the campus. And it had the old white pillars. They all said that Jefferson, you know, had a room there at one time. So I was sitting in the bar watching TV one night at the Quality Inn, and I was the only person in there, and the bartender, and I'd ordered a hamburger. And this guy walks in and sits down at the bar, and he looks around, and he comes over to my table, and he said, "Do you mind if I join you?" And I said, "Sure, have a seat." And he shakes my hand. He goes, "I'm Tim Leary.
Mind if I put this in your drink?"
And what's interesting, he was the...
Don't do the brown acid.
So we sat and chatted for, gosh, probably 3 hours. And what was interesting, he was on the kick then, how he was trying to figure out how to incorporate basically with what's a cable you plug a computer in,
the USB or
the USB port to his brain, and where he could communicate the brain with computers.
You weren't really there 3 hours. It was 5 minutes, but you know, under his influence, it felt like 3 hours of just mind expanding ideas.
But it was an interesting conversation.
I bet it was. Just the very thought of running into Dr. Timothy Leary at a bar at the Quality Inn is kind of like bumping into Elvis at the laundromat, you know?
The interesting part, too, is we actually did talk about his LSD days, and he and a guy who calls himself, I think he has died, though, since, called Ram Dass.
Baba Ram Dass.
They were PhD candidates, and what's interesting is they borrowed the biochemistry postdocs. And they titrated themselves. He said they put butterflies in to a vein.
Wait a minute. Explain that in lay terms. They did what to themselves?
They put, it's a little tiny IV, and they were very scientific about it. They calculated based on body weight, and they titrated the amount that they were giving them.
Meaning?
And, to where it would open up and free your mind to where you were, you know, more creative and open to suggestion. And supposedly, the guy that developed fractal imaging, I won't mention his name because we're on the air and he may sue me if I'm wrong, but was on acid when he developed some of the programs that NASA uses for virtual reality.
Well, I guess ideas have to come from somewhere, even accidentally.
But it was a pleasant, he was a charming fellow, and supposedly when he died, they chopped his head off and saved his brain. They cryogenically preserved it.
Right there with Ted Williams, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, probably the same vat.
Right now it's reminding me of the K-High Christmas party.
they might be surprised, though, when they think they're transplanting Leary's brain and they get Ted Williams.
Wow. You get a doper who can bat 358. That'd be great.
Or thinks he does.
Yeah. Or thinks he does. Oh, yeah, the K-High Christmas party in which we, the bizarre reference, he wasn't, Dr. Vaughn was not suggesting that, you know, we did acid at the K-High Christmas party. We were talking about the reference to the severed head comes from an odd white elephant gift that came. It was what do they call them?
I was all the way across the restaurant from it, so don't ask me.
It's a training prop used in hair salons to do haircuts, because, you know, if you're going to, you know, butcher a haircut, it might as well be on a dummy. So anyway, it was one of those wig heads. So anyway, somebody ended up with that thing. It looked pretty bizarre. They were having some fun with it.
And on that anecdote, one of my friends went to a Loyola Dental School in Chicago. And they were working on their cadavers one time, and the podiatry students came in with hacksaws and cut all the feet off of their cadavers and took them back with them to their school.
Why?
So that segues from severed heads and
to severed feet. We cover it all. Why did they want? Okay, they're podiatry students. They wanted the feet to study separately.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it wasn't some sicko prank.
No, it wasn't a Halloween prank.
We were thinking that somebody in the anatomy department approved of it.
Yes.
They didn't just come in over that night.
No, this wasn't. Yeah, this wasn't was pirating behind in the middle of the night.
Although that does remind me of something. I won't say the name of the medical school, but I only went to one. I remember that our cadaver had a gold tooth. And then one morning it wasn't there anymore.
Somebody's wife had a new pendant.
Yeah. Our first day in anatomy, our instructor came in and he warned us that the previous year had removed certain structures from certain bodies that disappeared from the anatomy lab, and that anybody caught with any parts outside the lab would be kicked out of school.
So yes, it is a banana, and I'm not happy to see you. Yeah.
Okay. So, the show is pretty much gone to the point that we need to bring it to an end here. Dr. Kintner, it is always so much fun to have you on, and we look forward to having you on again in the future and hearing more stories that you have for us. I do want to remind our listeners, one of our sponsors, the Auburn Medical Group, is open to new patients. Unlike what it says on a lot of the insurances that don't mark it as being open, it actually is open to new patients. So go ahead and call if you have need for a doctor and you live in the area that this radio show reaches, and you can find the number by going to the Medically Speaking Radio website, which is medicallyspeakingradio.com, or you can go to auburnmedicalgroup.com or call Stephanie at 530-885. No, that's not the number. It's 886-8630. What are you need new patients too?
I'm open too.
Oh, Dr. Kintner's open, gynecologist and obstetrician. He is also open to new patients. What's your number? What's your office number?
530-888-6660.
Okay, and so they can get hold of your staff and sign up as a new patient in your office?
Absolutely.
And
we can talk.
That's right. I was really hoping to have a patient of the Auburn Medical Group be able to say something nice about it. That'd be really cool if we could get somebody on the show to do that. We'll have to try that sometime. The other information on the show, you can always find at the website, medicallyspeakingradio.com, and you can become a fan on Facebook. And if you are interested in hearing a past show or listening to the show again, you can find it on iTunes just by searching for Medically Speaking Radio. Or if you don't know how to use iTunes, you can go to the website and follow the links to get it. Until next time, this is our guest, Dr. Philip Kintner, Larry and myself, telling all of our listeners to stay in good health.